When I say the word church, what do you first think of? What's the first thing that pops into your mind when you hear the word church? Perhaps it's this building, or your home parish, or a famous church, or the church you were married in. Or perhaps you think of the denomination, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Church of Christ. Perhaps you think of a religion. Or perhaps you think of a group of people. There are indeed many ways to talk about and to define the church, but there is one in particular that is poignant for us on All Saints' Day, and that is thinking of the church as a group of people. And the church is traditionally, as a group of people, divided into three groups: the church triumphant, the church suffering, and the church militant. Those of you who had the Baltimore Catechism should remember those three terms. The church triumphant describes the saints in heaven. They're triumphant because they've won the race, as St. Paul says. Their battle is over, and they get to enjoy heaven. And one thing that is important to remember as Catholics is that we venerate them. We do not worship them. But over and over in the Bible, there's instances where, like, angels would come and visit people, and they would call them the sons of God. And yet Jesus was called the Son of God. I remember once when an angel came to visit Jacob, and he bowed down and buried his eyes because he didn't want to see it. And yet when God came to visit God said to Elijah, "Don't look at me or you will die." In other words, over and over in the Bible, there's this sense that sometimes it's actually hard to distinguish between an angel or a saint, somebody who's with God in heaven, and God himself, because they have become so glorified. They have become so much like God. Why should we praise and glorify or even celebrate this solemnity? Why should it mean anything to the saints? This is the question asked by St. Bernard on his All Saints' Day homily many, many centuries ago. And we could equally ask this question today. Does it mean anything to the saints for us to have this celebration today? He goes on to say, though, the saints have no need of our honor from us. Neither does our devotion add the slightest thing to what is theirs. But I tell you, when I think of them, I feel myself inflamed by a tremendous yearning. You see, brothers and sisters, these saints inspire us. I still remember going to a talk on campus in college on Pier Giorgio Frassati. And the only reason I went is because there was a girl there that I liked. But I remember they showed some pictures from his life and told some stories about his life. And I still remember this day. This is like 15 years ago. I remember the feeling inside my chest of just burning with a desire to be like him. And I'm going to spend my whole life trying to even just be a fraction of the blessed saint that he is. But they inspire us. They remind us of what we are called to be. Pope Clement I said, quote, "Follow the saints because those who follow them will become saints." Who do you follow? Your favorite band? TV show? Or a saint? St. Teresa of Avila said, quote, "Those from whom I receive the greatest consolations and encouragement are those whom I know to be dwelling in paradise." Secondly, the church suffering, also sometimes called the church penitent or the church expectant. These are people who have died, their body and soul have separated, but they died in some state of sin that kept them from going into heaven. Now, a lot of people think, they will argue, "Father, where is purgatory in the Bible?" It's not explicitly in there, like many other things that we believe as Christians, but it makes sense. Ask yourself this question. Can anything with an ounce of unholiness enter heaven? Is there anything unholy in heaven? No. Heaven is perfection, right? It's being like God, and the scriptures clearly tell us that. So if I die and there is some sense of resistance to God still in my soul, if there's some need for continued purification, that's purgatory. Now, a lot of times I draw it out on the board for the kids, and those of you who are students here at Christ the King remember this. I draw heaven up here and hell down here. And where do they always put purgatory? Right in the middle. And that is totally wrong. Purgatory is not some halfway place between heaven and hell. And a lot of students, well, maybe it's a little bit more towards hell, you know, a little more suffering. I tell them, yes, when you're bad, that's how it is. No, it's not closer to hell either. It's not closer to heaven. It's on the gateway into heaven. It's taking a shower before you come to the wedding banquet. It's getting dressed up in your best to be with the Lord. We pray for those in purgatory who await being part of the church triumphant. Lastly is what we call the church militant. That's us. Now, hopefully nobody came in here with a gun tonight or any other form of weapon. But we are militant, not in the sense that those who are on a jihad are. We are fighting for salvation. Fighting for our own salvation against Satan who wants to drag you into hell. That is his purpose every second of every day. And he's working on you in subtle ways that sometimes you don't even see. The music we listen to, the TV we watch, the people we hang out with. We are in a fight. And we're not just fighting for ourselves, brothers and sisters. We should be fighting for each other. I asked the question this past weekend, do you have to be a saint to go to heaven? And I had everybody in the church vote. And if you were here, you kind of remember. Few people raised their hands and said, yes, you have to be a saint to go to heaven. And a bunch of people raised their hands and said, no, you don't. And who is right? The people who said yes. There are only saints in heaven. Now, do you have to be canonized? No. But you do have to be holy. Remember that word in Latin, sancta, means two things, saint and holy. So ask yourself this question, do you have to be holy to go to heaven? Pope Benedict XVI in 2006 said this, but how can we become holy, that is, friends of God? We can first give a negative answer to this question. To be a saint requires neither extraordinary actions or works, nor the possession of exceptional charisms. Then comes the positive reply. It is necessary, first of all, to listen to Jesus, and then to follow him without losing heart when facing difficulties. If anyone serves me, he warns us, he must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant also be. And if one serves me, the Father will honor him. John 12. Do not be discouraged by the fact that you must be a saint to go to heaven. In fact, be encouraged, because you have the full force of heaven, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all the saints who are the church triumphant standing at your side to aid you, to bring you there with them. Is it difficult to become a saint? Yes. It means following Jesus, and we know that Jesus only received resurrection through the cross. And it's a challenge in our age of convenience to even want the cross. But is it impossible to become a saint? No. The Pope continues, to the extent that we accept this proposal that you can be a saint and set to follow him, each one in his own circumstances, we too can participate in his blessedness. With him, the impossible becomes possible. And even a camel can pass through the eye of a needle, Mark 10. With his help, only with his help, can we become perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect, Matthew 5. I was in college driving home to my dormitory, which was off campus because we were overflowing at the time, and I drove by this Episcopal church one day. Not on purpose, it was just on the way. And I noticed out of the side of, you know, the car, these, they had parking signs, right? Like you would where you would put a handicap sign. But instead of the handicap sign, it said Senior Saints Parking Only. Senior Saints Parking Only. And at first I didn't get it, right? And the whole way back, I'm trying to figure this out in my head. What do they mean? I thought, well, maybe it's a joke, you know, or maybe somebody stole their handicap signs and put up something else, you know? But I went and investigated the Episcopal Church a little, and one of the cool things about their church is they refer to their members as saints. Now, that might be a little presumptuous. And we can go too far the other direction and talk all the time about how we're sinners. But it was an awesome reminder that each one of you here today, each one of us in the Christian church is called to be a saint. And we have the full force of heaven behind us to become just that. Don't let anyone, the world, yourself, other people, or Satan tell you otherwise. Holiness is for everyone. God bless you, and happy All Hallows' Eve.